With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. From the sound of it, they may need to do some hiring because they've been sending a lot of guys out to two of the Junks' homes over the last few weeks.
Yep, yeah, I'm going to have a new AC unit installed on Tuesday, I believe.
Wow. Very good.
What about your dilemma, Jason? What's going on over there?
The company that came out just put a Band-Aid on it.
So, and then that's what you're going to settle for?
Well, I mean, I don't have any options unless I just want to spend, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 on a unit.
Was it a Band-Aid or a generic name for a Band-Aid?
It's more of a generic name for a Band-Aid.
Some would say a bandage, perhaps?
Bandages.
Thank you. I appreciate that callback.
That's what you're trying to force their takes.
So to answer your question, luckily, you know, the weather for the next few days is not supposed to be real hot. It's supposed to be in the 60s, so I can deal. But we'll see what happens when it gets to be 93, 94. And if it breaks down again, I'll just put another claim in. Eventually, it's going to not work.
Mm-hmm.
But they just put a Band-Aid on it.
Right. Well, that's good. So at least you're back
to working right. It works now, but it's got a bandage on it.
In some ways, I've done the same thing with my refrigerator. It has a bandage. It's a Sub-Zero that's now 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I don't mind. Eventually, look, it's part of life, part of being a homeowner. You got to replace things. So I have to replace it. But this one is custom, so I'm really screwed when this one goes. So I'm going to keep putting Band-Aids on it, hopefully until I sell or die.
Yeah. Right. Well, the one that I'm worried about is the hot water heater, because if that breaks, it could flood. You know, it could spew out water. It could flood the entire basement.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have to be proactive. Generally, you have to be proactive with that item.
Usually you do. Mm-hmm. You don't wait for it to.
You're not going to be.
Well, and that's why I have the home warranty, bro.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have no idea what JP's spending on his, but.
You were in the ballpark with your first figure.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? That's fine. They do a great job.
Sure.
I love Crop Metcalf, but I have a home warranty for a reason. It's to avoid charges like that.
Well, somebody who probably doesn't need to put bandages on his appliances is Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
And he was on the Chris Collinsworth podcast recently, and he made some pretty revelatory statements about, you know, the way he's approaching quarterback here with the Washington football team. And I know that Collinsworth asked him if he was willing to move up in the draft, if that was something that was discussed with the staff. And we have some audio of Ron on with Chris Collinsworth.
Such an interesting year. We saw Tyler Heinicke. We saw so many different people. Dwayne Haskins, you let go. A lot of people thought this year might be a year that, despite the fact that you signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, that you might have made a move in the draft and, you know, come up and taken one of those five quarterbacks that everybody was talking about. Mm-hmm. Did you consider that at all?
Oh, yes. Oh, we did. We did, Chris. We really did. But The thing also that stuck out in our mind is the amount of draft capital, the price that we were going to have to pay to try and get the right one, the one we liked the most. That was hard because we're looking at our team saying, God, we need a linebacker. We need a left tackle. You know, we for the future, we need, you know, so many other things that just getting the one guy might not have put us in that position. Now, with what we've done, you know, we secured some of our positions. We feel good about some of the positions. And the rest of the team. And I'll say this. This was one of the things that we talked about, too, was other than Tom Brady, who's won multiple? You know, well, you can say Peyton, you can say Eli, but then who else? You know, you look at the other guys that have won them, there are a lot of one-timers. And what do those one-timers have in common? Well, you know, they're guys that were very efficient. They managed the game. They didn't turn it over a lot. And they made plays when they had to. So we're just wondering, is that the other formula? If you're fortunate enough to find this guy, you ride him. But if you don't, and you find these guys, what says you can't win with them? Other than Tom Brady, think about this. So we went through that back and forth. Now, I'm not saying that if the right guy in our mind is there, that we don't ride with him. So we'll see.
All right, here's the thing. What he's basically saying is if you don't have one of the unicorns, then he thinks you could still win. He's a little – and I do think there's some truth to it. But he's overstating the one-timers as like they're all Trent Dilfers.
They're all not Hall of Famers.
The one-timers – they're not all. But well, the one-timers are Roethlisberger or I don't even think he is. Like Breeze, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he won too.
You know, Mahomes. I mean, these are great players. But to his defense – I don't think he articulated it well. Since 2000, and this is what they're obviously going for, Trent Dilfer's won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson's won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl. Nick Foles has won a Super Bowl. So, you know, that's like a 1 in 5 shot. You know, 1 in 4 shot, something like that. But in terms of the winners of late, you know, 25% of them or 20% of them have been that kind of player. So he's just trying to justify that.
But Flacco, look, Flacco had a great run in the postseason.
So his, all those guys played
his,
well.
I'm just saying for his career, his postseason numbers are pretty damn good.
Listen, you can make an
I don't see those guys as stopgaps. I mean, a couple of those guys were, but.
I do. I see Dilfer, Johnson, Flacco.
Foles, yes.
They're kind of like journeymen. They become journeymen. They are.
Yeah, Brad Johnson had
They all had their moments.
He had a pretty good career. I mean, if you look at those type of quarterbacks,
they're not like the others, Jason.
Right. If you look at those type of quarterbacks that won, it's 5 out of 50.
But I'm just saying, the last 20 years, those guys have. That's actually factual, right? Since
they have
since 21 years, so or 20 actually, because maybe 21 Super Bowls.
But what I'm saying to you is, those guys were on a different level than what you have now.
Well,
Flacco, when he won, so much better than Fitz.
Maybe
now.
I think Fitz is equivalent to Dilfer, Johnson. Flacco was playing great, and Foles was playing great at the time. But I think he's equivalent to them overall. I actually do.
I disagree, but okay.
Yeah. So,
maybe Dilfer.
And I think he's
probably
thinking,
better than Dilfer.
And Brad Johnson
but
Dilfer, was greatly diminished.
But
when
Dilfer
he won.
Had the best defense in the history of the world.
Understood. They think they have a great defense. They think they can build around. Now, it's more of a long shot, but I understand what he's saying. I think they have a shot to have a nice winning record, and who knows what could happen in the playoffs.
If you want to weigh in on an open line Thursday, do you dovetail with Coach Rivera's thought that you can kind of piecemeal it together as long as you build the rest of the team up around the quarterback? 800-636-1067 is the number, and I'm getting more convinced. I'm convincing myself more than ever that, especially if Ron is here for the entire 5 years of his contract, that I don't know that they're going to take that bite of the apple of the first round quarterback, especially if they, you know, if they win 9 or 10 games and they're picking in the 20 range. You're not generally going to get a quarterback there that's going to transform your franchise, because you look at what's happened already. Year one's in the books for Rivera with the trash-a-palooza at quarterback, playing 4 different guys at quarterback. Year two is going to be Fitz, and I think if Fitz plays well, year three is going to be Fitz.
I agree.
So then
that.
You're 3 years in already to a 5-year deal, and unless you think he's going to be the next Belichick or Mike Tomlin, a guy who's going to be someplace for a decade plus. I mean, Ron is what, 59 now? By the end of his deal, he's 62, 63. Is he gonna sign up for another few years if things go well here? He might.
I would guess
he
that he
not.
Would want to. Maybe I guess that he would want to. But here's my thing. I do think he's kind of speaking out of both sides of his mouth, because he's kind of defending their position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Defending their position that you can do it this way. You can do it by addressing other needs, and you don't have to have the best quarterback in the league. You don't have to have Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he's admitting, we were looking for that guy, but they basically did a cost-benefit analysis.
Right.
Their own determination. They felt like the cost to move up and get a Justin Fields. Too great.
Right.
And so they decided to go this way.
But isn't that fair?
Yeah, it's fair.
Totally fair. And he's being totally transparent in that sense.
Well, it also tells me that they didn't love him enough to make that deal.
Sure.
There's something about that guy they didn't love because they could have made the deal. What did Chicago give up? A first and was it a fourth?
A fourth or a fifth, I believe. I can double check the deal.
You wouldn't give up a first rounder and a fourth rounder for your quarterback of the future?
No, I think you're right. That's not the guy that they necessarily wanted.
You know, we'll see if fits into the equation because what Rivera said at the end of the audio we played is that he's looking for a guy who's efficient, right? That managed the game, that didn't turn it over a lot. And that's been the bugaboo with Fitz at times. He's gotten better, but at other times he's been a turnover machine. So the question is, what are you going to get from Fitzpatrick this year? Because Rivera believes you can have a quarterback who can manage a game, don't commit many turnovers, and then you're going to be in games. It actually sounds like he's talking about Alex Smith, because that's really what Alex Smith was. Wow, no turnovers.
If he thinks that Fitz is Alex Smith, which I know he doesn't, then he's got another thing coming. Because Fitz is not Alex Smith.
But I'm just saying, doesn't Alex Smith fit that description of what Rivera said? He said, one-timers have this in common. They're guys that were very efficient. They managed the game. They didn't turn it over a lot. And they made plays when they had to.
Well, here's the other thing about throwing the Nick Foles in there. Nick Foles, when he won, he wasn't the quarterback the entire year. He played two or three games in the regular season. Carson Wentz was the quarterback, and he got hurt. Am I wrong about that? Don't I have the same? Is that the same year?
Which year?
When Foles won the Super Bowl.
He just got hot late.
He was not the starting quarterback. Carson Wentz was the quarterback.
Yeah, I think it was like game 13 or something. I can't remember what exactly.
And Carson Wentz was their starter.
Right.
And they had a great year under Wentz. Then he got hurt.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. It's kind of similar.
So that's
thing
kind
that
of
happened.
A misnomer. He just got hot in the postseason.
He got hot in the postseason. But the fact is, he did it. He pulled it off. So I think that Ron is overstating how often it happens, or that the one-timers are like some sort of like one-offs, because the one-timers, a lot of them, like Russell Wilson, he's a great player. They're going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's what I was saying.
I agree with you 100%. But I do think there is some validity that you can find lightning in a bottle every once in a while if the rest of the team is special and you get good play from your guy. So I personally don't think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is any worse than Trent Dilfer or any worse than Brad Johnson. And I understand Flacco's had moments, but I think overall he's no worse. In fact, I think he's better than Flacco, certainly at this point. And then Foles, same thing. So those guys have won him before. If you catch lightning in a bottle, maybe you – I don't think it's
– So you want to catch lightning. So that's what you're banking on, catching lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, well, no. Which is easy to do.
Yeah,
what you just said.
It's not easy to do. It's very hard. I'm saying it's very hard.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm saying it's not impossible.
95% of the quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls were considered the best in the game, or they're going to the Hall of Fame.
But in the last 20 years, I just gave you four that weren't. So that's one in, what is that, BP? What is that, one in five?
Right, 20%.
That's 20% haven't been that.
I know. I'm just telling you. I just think a couple of those guys were better than what you have now.
Okay, I disagree. I don't think Trent
and one of those guys won it, but wasn't the starting quarterback for 90% of the
year. Right, I'm familiar with that. I mean, Doug Williams did the same thing here in D.C. But Doug Williams gets credit for it. Foles gets credit for it.
I just look at the last 15. I know you go back to 20 because you're adding Johnson and Dilfer, but the last 15 has been Brady, Roethlisberger, both Mannings, Breeze, Rodgers.
Right, and I don't think, by the way,
Wilson, Brady, Mann. I mean,
I agree.
The best ever.
No, I don't put Eli in that conversation. He is one I almost mentioned, but I didn't feel like arguing it. But I think Eli is very average over his career. So.
You're putting Eli Manning in Ryan Fitzpatrick's category?
No, I think Eli Manning's more accomplished. He's won two Super Bowls.
It's not even close.
I think he's very average. That's just my opinion of Eli.
I mean, he won two Super Bowls, bro.
He does. He did. He gets credit.
So I didn't even want to
bring that up. But I think he overall was a very average quarterback.
He might go to the Hall of Fame.
I doubt it.
He might.
I understand.
He's certainly in the discussion.
If you want to die on that mountain and you think Eli is some great quarterback, I don't think he is.
I'm saying that I would take Eli. Hold on. I would take Eli Manning over Fitz 12 times out of 10.
Okay. Sure.
Am I on another planet when I say that? Come on.
I don't think he was that great. I think he won two Super Bowls.
Oh, okay.
I think he won two Super
did.
Bowls.
He did win two Super Bowls. I mean, that's pretty good.
Kind of side on EB's side.
Did Jim Plunkett win two Super Bowls or one?
I thought he won two, but maybe it might have been one.
He won a couple,
I can't remember. But Eli's career passer rating, 84.1. Fitzpatrick's, 82.3. Not a lot of separation there.
It's well, pretty if you're going to compare
Eli's completion percentage career, 60.3. Fitzpatrick, 60.7. Now, if you look at touchdown interception ratio, it's going to be better on Eli's side, 366 to 244. Fitzpatrick, 223 to 169.
That doesn't sound that far off, actually. Yeah. He just more starts.
Well, of course. I mean, because he was better.
Well, he also is a four-time Pro Bowler. I know that we diminished the Pro Bowl, and that makes sense. He was a four-time Pro Bowler, Fitzpatrick, zero.
You know what? Yeah.
We'll take your calls, 800-636-1067 on an open line Thursday. Do you agree with Ron Rivera's statements about building up the quarterback spot here in Washington? You don't necessarily have to do it with the first rounder. They're doing it with Fitz. Do you agree with that approach? 800-636-1067. We'll be right back.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Junk's 25th anniversary is presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to weigh in on Ron Rivera's comments on the Chris Collinsworth podcast about not moving up to get a quarterback, about doing it with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke, or as Chris Collinsworth called him, Tyler Heinicke and Kyle Allen. He's finally doing it with his guys. He doesn't have to worry about Alex Smith anymore. He doesn't have to worry about the overdraft of Dwayne Haskins. That's in the rearview mirror. These are his guys. This is the way he wants it done. So we'll see how it pans out in the next year or two. I think Fitz is going to be here for 2 years, unless he's a colossal, just gigantic bust and falls on his face, which I don't think he will. I think he's here for 2 years.
I don't think he'll start for both years. See, I think that this is what Ron does, and I don't really have a problem with what he said. And, you know, because I think he was kind of saying two different things. One, you can obviously win with the top-tier quarterback. But two was,
and it's a lot easier to win with a top-tier.
Right. But he was also saying, hey, if you can't get that top-tier quarterback and they weren't willing to move up, you can win with a quarterback who's efficient and can make some plays. But we know this about Ron. He can change his message. We saw that this year. This year was supposed to be the development year. And then all of a sudden the division was horrible. And Haskins was flailing. And they saw themselves all of a sudden in a division race, even though they weren't winning games. And all of a sudden he made the switch at quarterback, which a lot of people thought was early, because he thought they could win the division. So he changed his message halfway. And look, if Fitzpatrick doesn't work out, he'll change his message. And he maybe goes after a top-tier quarterback next year. It's just the reality of the situation is he doesn't have one now.
But to get that guy, you either have to stink and lose a bunch of games, or you have to part with your draft capital, which they clearly don't want to do.
They weren't willing to do it this year. That doesn't mean they're not willing to do it next year.
That's
true. And what we don't know, and we'll probably never know, is if the Chicago Bears made a move to trade up for Justin Fields with their trade offer, did Washington place a call? Did Washington offer something?
Mm-hmm.
We may never know that.
It's a good question.
It's a great question. I'm curious, which one did they like? I'm going to bet, and it's not fair, I'm going to bet it wasn't Fields, because they're just going to say, you know what, we don't want to go down another Ohio State quarterback. And that's not even
fair. Who did you think it was, then?
I have no idea. Oh. Valdez, Lawrence, everybody likes Lawrence.
Well, no, they know they have no shot of getting those guys. Yeah. They didn't have a shot of getting Lawrence or Wilson or Lance.
No.
Why would they have a chance of getting Lance when San Francisco traded the world to get the third pick?
Well, maybe before that. Maybe before they thought they had a move.
I think they probably liked Fields.
You really think that?
Probably more than Mac Jones. I don't know. I mean,
I don't think they like Mac Jones. Who would like Mac Jones?
He said that they thought about it. So there's only one. That tells me there's only one quarterback they really thought about.
No. Well, okay. I just think they're talking in a broader term than just that night. I think they're talking about, okay, who do we like? What would it cost to move up? And it's just too much. I don't know. I think they could have liked any of them.
Well, I get it, but Jacksonville wasn't trading that pick. The Jets weren't trading that pick. Yeah, they knew that.
Right, and so that's where everybody has a cost, though.
We'll never know.
Has a cost. You might have been able to pry that pick from, if you gave some outrageous offer, if you had a Jimmy Johnson, some sort of weird offer, Jacksonville might have traded. Lauren, who knows?
Zero chance.
Okay. I think has a cost. I think everything has a cost.
All right, 10 first-rounders, but, come on.
I just think Ron Rivera may change his tune after this season. Let's say they finish 7-10 or 8-9 and they don't make the playoffs this year.
Which even though I predicted them to win a bunch of games, is very possible.
Right, or they finish 9-8 in a 17-game season, which is an improvement, right? They had a losing record last year, but 9-8 isn't good enough to make the playoffs. He may change his tune. And instead of saying, yeah, we can go with a game manager who just doesn't turn over the ball, makes a couple plays here and there, kind of like you said, he may, tell his people, the two Martys, hey, we got to do everything we can and make a move for somebody like a Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, they allegedly were in on, right? They allegedly were trying to get a Matthew Stafford. That's what I'm saying. He's talking out of both sides. They weren't able to get the top-tier quarterback, so he's saying he's okay with the manager.
But by the way, Stafford is a very good quarterback, and it would be a huge upgrade, I think, generally. But I don't even know how much a great. He's like middle of the pack in terms of probably there's the elite, and then there's Stafford.
He's the next up. He's in the Eli Manning pretty good territory.
And Eli, again, I maintain, when you look at it, Eli had two incredible postseason runs. He's almost like the Mark Lemke of the NFL.
Yeah, but it's body of work, man. His body of work is not that dissimilar to
Jim Plunkett. I'm telling you.
Okay, but those guys' body of work is much better than Fitz's. Is my point.
If you're talking about average
quarterbacks, Fitz fits in that category. I wouldn't put Eli in the average category when he beat Tom Brady twice.
I just think he got hot at the right time.
And I'm guessing
because he's got talent. I mean, he had talent. Did he throw a lot of picks? Sure. And his last few years in New York, not good. But he started 16 games for 100 years.
Yeah, he was an established guy. I just don't think – I don't have that high of an opinion of him. I thought he was good.
He wasn't great. I wouldn't call him great, but for a guy who threw 366 touchdowns, you said?
Had a hell of a career.
And 8-4 in a postseason, two rings, that's not average.
His postseason run was extraordinary.
Oh, yeah, well, you got to factor it in, I think.
I do. I tip my cap to him, and maybe he gets in the Hall of Fame based on that. But I think overall, he was just pretty average. He had two extraordinary runs.
Okay, well, if he's pretty average, then what's Fitz?
Regular season-wise, they're the same.
For his career.
Regular season-wise, I think they're the same.
I disagree.
Yeah. We don't know playoff Fitz yet.
It doesn't matter.
We don't even know playoff Fitz.
I know. He's never even played in a game in the postseason.
All right, let's go to the phones. A bunch of people want to weigh in. What do you make of what Ron Rivera said? Essentially, he said, you can win without a top-tier quarterback. We actually put that up as our Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. You can vote at Junks Radio on Twitter.
Let me just point this one thing out, too. When we talk about, lightning in a bottle, whatever, you could do that if the rest of your team is special. I do believe in their heart of hearts, they think their defense has a chance to be special. They think Chase Young has a chance to be special.
Sure. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So I think what they're thinking is, yeah, we're going to hope to be in that 20% of the last 20 years where we ride the other pieces and our quarterback doesn't screw it up for us. We're going to hope that we're in a Trent Dilfer situation, that we're in a Flacco situation, that we're in a Foles situation, a Brad Johnson situation.
So
it's
much
a team win.
So much Flacco disrespect.
There is a lot going on here.
Look, I'm trying to back your guy, and you're not in my corner.
I think he's
I'm
a journeyman at this point. You have
of course
to say.
Now.
I know now, Ricky. Yeah.
And that might have been the best football he played of his career.
But the best he ever played was so much better than the best Fitz
played.
I know,
played. But you saying Flacco just don't screw it up when he won them the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Is a little disrespectful.
Okay, that's fair.
He was named MVP. I'm sure he didn't just screw it up.
I need to buy you a
Rippin won a Super Bowl, and he was freaking Mark Rippin.
I need to buy you a Flacco jersey from the Eagles. I can buy that probably pretty cheap.
I mean, Mark Rippin was Super Bowl MVP too, I believe, right? And he's freaking Mark Rippin.
I know, but
happens. Guys get hot.
Preconceived notion. You have no idea.
Well, I think Flacco just got hot.
But Rippin didn't just get hot in two or three games.
That. Would you agree with me, Drabby, or no? I think Flacco got hot.
Of course. He's never had a QB rating over, 91. One time.
Flacco got hot.
I know,
Eli got hot twice.
Saying he got hot is different than don't screw it up.
Okay.
Why are we arguing about Eli Manning so much? Well, we started talking about Ron Rivera and his quarterback.
We're arguing about
from those guys.
We're arguing about Flacco.
I know, it's ridiculous. We start off talking about Rivera and his philosophy.
Because you're comparing Fitz to them.
Because we get sidetracked easily. That's why we're doing it.
I don't think it's sidetracked. I think it's part of the same discussion. All right, let's go to Chris in Lusby, line one. Chris, what's up?
I think you guys are doing a great job, and I think you stole my thunder. And whoever brought up Jim Plunkett
Thank you.
Is a genius.
Thank you.
Is that Eric?
Yes. Go ahead.
That was great. If you look at Plunkett, he had an outstanding collegiate career. He got stuck in the old Pats, right, with the old Patriot Pat on the side of the helmet, and they couldn't beat anybody. And he goes to the Raiders, and he gets a ring. Right?
Two rings.
He got
two rings.
Look at Gibbs, right? Game managers. You got Theismann before he lost his leg. You got Rippin, and you got Doug Williams. Right? Doug Williams couldn't win much of anything down in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and when I look at Rivera, what I see him doing is just what Gibbs did. And if you look at teams like Dilfer won himself a ring in Baltimore, and they had a wicked defense, right? Ron's building the team. Does he have a chance at Trevor Lawrence? Well, no, he doesn't. So in the meantime, he continues building the team. I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
And a game manager is fine in that circumstance. And, yeah, you can win a Super Bowl, right? But
it's a lot harder.
Listen, it's rare.
He much prefer, and he would admit this. I'm just saying there's some validity to what he's saying. It's much harder to win with, someone average or, whatever at quarterback. It's much harder.
Yeah,
it's way easier to have a stud. He's just saying it's, impossible to get one. You got to give up your whole team. You got to give up all your future.
The stars have to align.
You have to thread the needle to do it with a Fitz type.
He would rather have Breeze, Wilson, all those guys in their prime. He would much rather have those guys.
Of course. There's just not many of those guys to go around.
It's so hard. So he's saying, hey, we're just going to bank on the 20% in the last 20 years that we get one of the other, that we can do it another way, that it's not necessarily quarterback led. And these brings up a good point. Flacco was hot, so they rode it. Fitz can get hot. Eli got hot twice. He played the best football of his career, those two playoff
runs.
Right,
but it's not that easy to get hot.
It's not. I'm not saying it's easy.
You've got to have a certain amount of talent and a certain talent around you to get hot. They get hot.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think a lot of guys can get hot. You have to have a basic level of talent. But
I know what he's saying. I know what you're saying. But
hey, who's streakier than Fitz? Fitz can get
just
hot.
Look at the 55 Super Bowl winners. The majority of those guys aren't guys who just got hot.
I agree. I'm just saying there's another avenue. It's not impossible. That's all I'm saying.
Let's take one more call. Who's up?
Go to Daryl, line two. Just go in order. Daryl, what's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks a lot for calling, for having me talk. So I think, number one, that they made the right move not to give up the farm for a sort of top-tier quarterback. But I also think that Ron's view of, you know, anybody can get you there is also wrong. I think you really need to take a larger look, like looking like the last decade of which quarterbacks took the teams to the NFC and AFC championships to really get a better picture of the type of quarterback you need in order to win in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. We'd have to go back and look, but you're right. I mean, most of those quarterbacks were certainly top tier. I mean, they're Aaron Rodgers of the world.
No doubt that's the preferred way to go. But I don't think you have to mortgage your future, especially when I think a lot of these guys are – none of them are sure things. None of them. And when you have to give up so much, you know.
Well, yeah, they chose not to. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It's a tough decision. Or maybe they were willing to give this much, and that team wanted this much, and they said, no, that breaks the bank.
And that's probably what happened with Stafford.
Probably.
Don't forget, this team, and I don't know the exact offer, but they at least expressed interest, from what we've heard, in trading for Matthew Stafford, which tells you they didn't just want to settle on a Ryan Fitzpatrick or avoid the draft.
Well,
they made inquiries into upgrading the quarterback.
He didn't say this is what we wanted to do.
Right.
He was saying these are the cards we
were
dealt.
This is what we had to do. Mm-hmm. All right, don't forget Ryan Zimmerman upcoming at 9:25. But next, we'll talk some Washington Capitals with Alan May next here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Ryan Zimmerman from your Washington Nationals. He'll join us as he does every week at 9:25. But joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, it's Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. Presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business regrows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. Alan, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be here.
Tell you, we couldn't wait to watch that game last night. Listen, sometimes I'll be honest, you know, I'll shuffle back and forth, or maybe I'll stick with the Nats. Last night was all caps all the time. I told my family, we're not missing a second of this one, right? We were at the dinner table, and I got up at 7 o'clock. Whoa, we got to make sure we have this on. And they dropped the gloves. You guys were talking about it was old school 70s and 80s hockey. I want to get your take on it. This is kind of your thing. I would think you would like it, but I saw some of your comments, and you were also a little bit disappointed, it seemed like.
Well, my biggest thing with the league is that they get so many things wrong, and the referees and the Department of Player Safety. And, you know, there's been a huge controversy all week, but it's also been a made-up controversy by a lot of the media and the hacks on Twitter that are trying to make themselves relevant to get clicks. And first of all, the Tom Wilson incident the other night was so overblown. It was so out of proportion as to what happened with all of that. And, you know, the Rangers played it wrong in a lot of different ways. Did Wilson push a guy while he was on the ice? Did he give him some love taps on the back of the head? Yes, he did. But a lot of people don't realize this. Buchnevich does a lot of BS out on the ice. And the Caps felt that he took a swing or a light kick, a swinging motion with his leg at Vanacek. And Wilson was roughing him up. Ryan Strom jumps on his back. They twist him around. Wilson gets up. Panarin jumps on his back. So Panarin overreacts a little bit. Then they get in the scrum. There's a bunch of players in there. Now it's Strom. It's Buchnevich. It's Panarin all in there. And Wilson comes flying out of there like a Tasmanian devil, and he slams Panarin. And, you know, big deal that he slammed it because he was just coming out of a tussle. And it's not a big – and everyone goes, what if he would have hit his head out on the ice? Well, what if he would have? Like, he didn't. And a lot of things happened. I just thought that Tom probably should have eased up when he realized it was one of the cupcakes on the other team. One of the finesse players, you just control him. But he kept to push him, and then they jumped on him again. But those things happen in so many games. There was an incident last night in another game where 10 guys were all punching each other at the same time. And there was a Sidney Crosby the next night in Philadelphia, you know, getting pissed off at a guy that was doing things to him. So that all happens, and all this outrage. Those things do happen. I'm not trying to minimize it. That happens. When you touch a team's goal, I still think it's the stupidest thing in the world that people try to start at Donnybrook. And then, you know, all of that. And then last night to start the game, the Rangers are a soft team. So they start the team. They got a Harvard guy go after Hagelin. They have whoever goes, like, Dowd. Rooney tells Dowd he's going to fight him. The guy with Hathaway tells him, do Giuseppe, who doesn't fight. So they've got their coach who never played in the NHL, who never played really pro hockey. He's out sending a message, okay? Well, the three guys have a fight. Of the six guys that fought to start the game, four of those guys should have been given game misconducts and been out of the game. You're allowed one fight. And the reason is, before I played, teams would start what they were called line brawls. Mm-hmm. So your first fight at an infraction is a 5-minute major. Everything else after that, if it's one fight, two fights, three, four, or five, everyone's given a game misconduct. So that should have happened. And then, you know, right after that, like, Chara skated over to Brendan Smith during that and challenged him. He said, let's go then. And he was sending a message. Brendan Smith doesn't go with him. Wilson goes on the ice next shift. Brendan Smith jumps him. Wilson wins that fight. And the power play down in the other zone, they start. Ryan Strome picks a fight with Lars Eller. Lars Eller takes care of that. Betetto picks a fight with Michael Raffel. Michael Raffel wins that. So the Caps go 4-0-2 in the fights. And after that, Zdeno Chara, Brendan Dillon start sending messages and skating up to different players and telling them what the what was. And that game was over after that. In the second period and third period, the Rangers didn't want to play. And then you had that, you know, the crud that Buchnevich does, what he did to Mantha. He does that stuff all the time. And, you know, that's something that probably needs to be pointed out. And I don't know what the league will do with him with this cross check. It could be a $5,000 fine. I don't know, because no one knows what that department is doing. How's that, guys?
That's great. So, Alan, beyond the fights, because we spent all our time the last couple of days talking about Wilson, possible suspension, the fight last night. They've been winning games. A couple years ago when they won the Stanley Cup, you said you had kind of this light bulb moment, an epiphany that they were going to win the cup. and you felt like they were playing that style of hockey, could win it. What are you feeling about this team right now heading into the playoffs?
Well, I do feel they can win the cup, but they have been too newsworthy for me this week. I don't like it. I don't like all of the noise that's going on around the team.
Right.
The only news we should have heard, and that was the saddest news of all, was TJ losing his father. And all the other things with Kuznetsov and Samsonov, that pisses me off. You know, as an alum, as a guy that, you know, works in the game and has been in the game my entire adult life, it's just too much noise coming out of the team. Ovechkin getting hurt 38, 39 seconds into the game. You know, that's noise. And you keep, all these things keep happening. All the stuff from this week with the New York Rangers is an absolute nightmare. And then, you know, yesterday, all of a sudden, I hear Sprong's not going to play. And he's sick, and there's no way he can play the game. And, you know, so it's one thing after another. There's been a lot going on. Schultz the other night, you know, they come out of the tunnel. They played that game 11. They're supposed to go 11-7-2, 11 forward, 7 defense, and both the goaltenders. They got the goalie off the taxi squad. Kuznetsov goes in the COVID list. Samsonov goes to the taxi squad. There's just too much going on. And then all the Rangers firing everyone yesterday, and I don't know who they'll fire today, but there was just so much. There's too much going on, and I don't like it right now. This thing has to calm down by the time we get to that first playoff game. There's way too much news. It's too easy for you guys to talk about the Caps right now in all the wrong ways.
Is the Kuzi Ilya thing, is that overblown? Does that piss you off that they missed that meeting?
Did they miss it, or were they
late?
Or
they were late. I'm sorry, they were late, yeah.
Know what? No one said. It's kind of murky what, you know, the way it's been, everything's been put out there. But it does bother me that it's the same guys. And the fact that you sit two players out for disciplinary reasons at this time of the year, you do want to win first place. You know, I don't care about, like, you want to be the best team. You want to be the best in the division, the best in the league. Right now, you want to be the best team in your division. And, you know, playoffs are so weird this year, and you want to get that advantage while you can at home when you're not stuck actually inside your hotel room, as a lot of teams are. The entire time they're on the road. Like, you play here in Washington, I know that the teams have been walking around and doing things, not carousing and doing things like that, but it's a lot easier to be in Washington than, say, it is in New York City right now. And so it's just, you know, there's things going on, and the Caps need to calm everything down.
Why, real quick, why are these guys on, at least one of them, on the COVID list? So Neil Greenberg tweeted at one point, I don't know if it's accurate, I assume it's accurate, that you could be on that list for contact tracing, for COVID, or for any other reason. Do we know why?
Well, no. There's no other reason. It's contact tracing or positive tests, or, you know, they can't hide players on those, because there's ways, you know, if the Capitals said, okay, we're going to put four guys in the COVID list, and then we're going to call it four meatheads from Hershey to play the game tonight. Uh-huh. You have to think about that stuff when you're making these rules. And these rules were all made very quickly. But, you know, there's a reason people are on the COVID list. So I think Kuznetsov, he's the only guy. And Samsonov, it's so hard to keep track because there's too much noise.
Yeah, and, you can't keep track.
You know, I didn't even get to the Schultz, you know, thing the other night. Like, Schultz misses at the last second. So, you know, there's just lots going on. And as I said, the noise has to stop. It's got to slow down. We got to talk about everyone's back in the lineup. This line, we know what's going to happen, because it's impossible to make your game card going into these games right now with the way the lines are changing.
Do you know, real quick, I know we got a break, but what is the injury to Ovi? Do you know? Can you just let us know, or at least text us? Like, what's the injury? Can you text us? Like, what is it? Well, is it a hamstring? Hey, or?
Okay, he was skating against the Islanders in that game, and I was going, fine, he's finally skating good.
Yeah.
And he's skating down the ice. Next thing you know, he pulls up lame.
Yeah.
And so he's obviously got
a groin,
a muscle pull.
Yeah.
He's got a muscle pull. He comes back. He lightly taps his skate with another guy's skate. I'm sure if Tom Wilson tapped his skate with him, people would want him suspended. But, you know, he caught his skate, and he tweaked whatever he's got going on. And so it's going to be one of those nagging things. He looks, you know, to me, guys, he hasn't skated well all season. And I'm not saying he hasn't played well, but he hasn't been the Ovi that goes inside the blue line and darts and cuts inside and out.
Right.
So obviously something's been bothering him all year. I was thinking maybe he's got a bad back or something, but you know, he pulled up lame on that play, lifted his leg up. So obviously it's something to do with his leg.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Alan, thanks as always. Hopefully the noise settles down and we'll talk to you again next week, closer to the playoffs.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Guys.
All right, man.
When we come back, we'll dive into EB's entertainment page. We'll tell you what Hollywood celeb is eating 7,000 calories a day. He's trying to gain 30 pounds. Instead of the junks who are trying to lose like 20 or 30 pounds, he's trying to put on 30 pounds. We'll tell you who that is and more next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.